where Robles Gaunt Surname FC.
What is up, everybody? My name is Hector Flores, host of the Insert Name FC podcast. And with me, as always, is my best friend and the other host of the show, El Robles.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Episode 72. I'm not going to try to guess the number, a player or anything like that, because we're getting into these high-ass numbers and we're just not going to find anybody. But I did want to give a special shout-out. If you guys, some of you that don't know, before I started with Insert Name FC, I did some YouTube videos for Sauce Sports. And if you guys don't know what Sauce Sports is, Sauce Sports is a Houston like sports YouTube channel. So they talk all sports, but only Houston. So I did some videos for them, mainly talking like Dynamo, Astros, and like the Texans as well. That's kind of like the way they really got popular was through the Houston Texans. Well, last week they were featured on Fox 26. It was that's like the local channel here in Houston. So I was on the panel. Like I was actually like, so I was on Fox 26 News. Pretty cool. So it's crazy how they've grown over the years, and to be at that point to get a shot to be featured on Fox 26 was pretty badass and like really cool moment for me. Had people like message me like, "Hey, I saw you on TV," which I'm not gonna lie, Edward. I'm surprised people still watch the news. So, not to try to be a dick about Fox News or anything like that. I just assuming people my age group, because I also got messages from like teachers from high school, like, "Oh yeah, wow. I saw you on TV." And I'm like, "Well, I kind of expected that." But I mean, like actually, people that I went to school with were like, "Oh, dude, yeah, congrats, man! I saw you on the news." And I'm like, "You watch the news?" But still pretty cool moment. Still pretty cool. So really excited. I still do some stuff with Sauce Sports. So things are going for them pretty well. I'm pretty excited for them. But obviously, we're talking about Insert Name FC, though, which is something I'm still wanting to make sure it also grows as well as they are. But yeah, it was a pretty cool moment for myself. Just a little personal. And hey, look, I got a job now. So, full-time job, awesome. Benefits, and, a decent salary. I'm finally adulting. So I got medical coverage now.
So, so that means I can hurt him in the field if I want to.
Can we just avoid, like, the region that's the most bruised part of me? Because, like, I kind of want to have kids at some point. It would be nice.
Hey, so first of all, I haven't kicked you there in a long time. I haven't shot a soccer ball there in a long time.
Bro, man, when Brandon just randomly shot me, I had like flashbacks. Luckily, he hit me in the stomach. But oh my God, dude, that was... Anyway, speaking of people being harmed, congratulations, freaking James Rodriguez, dude. Like, I mean, I don't know how he's been doing over playing Qatar, I believe, right now. But he saved somebody's life. So during the game, one of the players, like he was going through cardiac arrest. And so, James Rodriguez, I guess he knew what to do in that situation. I don't know what the backstory behind how he knew that to like, put his head lifted. I believe he lifted his head or something like that to make sure that he would like to give him a fighting chance to live. The guy lived, owes his life to James Rodriguez, but really cool story. It's not really, I mean, it is soccer related, but obviously it has really nothing to do with soccer. It's just, a human being saving another human's life. So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool to see that.
Exactly. That is right there. That's the humanity that you love to see.
Yeah, like a real good feel good story.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. But anyways, I'm not trying to like brush it off like that was nothing. But anyways, we got quite the show to have with you guys. We do have Transfer Watch. We have some headlines. We're going to have our debate. And then, of course, give you guys our games to recap, players of the week, and give you guys some matches to look forward to this coming weekend. African Cup Nations are now entering the knockout stages by the time this episode drops. So things are going to get a little bit more interesting in the African Cup of Nations. But we'll get going with that. And then we'll wrap this show up with a 3 up, 3 down. And the topic will be songs that came out the year we were born.
Yep. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer and I were both from like 1989, and then I'm 91, so.
Man.
There it goes. I believe Edward's 1 month older than Spencer.
I am?
Yeah, because he's September.
Oh, okay.
September 89th, so you're the old man.
Yeah, that's all good with me. I don't feel old. So right now, I see my ankle.
Oh, yeah, Edward did not. Yeah, our season kicked back up. And Edward couldn't play our first game because he was injured, and we ended up winning that game 5-4. Justice, because that was the team that screwed us over at the end of the last season. So justice for Houston.
It's hilarious. My homeboy was playing on the other team. He's the one that scored, I think, 2 goals. He's the one that basically brought them back to 4. The one he got there late. Adrian. Yeah.
Wait, is that the short dude with
the long sleeve? Yeah, the short dude with the long sleeve.
The short dude, long sleeve. Okay, because I know that you're also cool with that one dude that wears Real Madrid.
Yeah, the tall guy, the defender. Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't remember him scoring goals. Like, okay,
not the tall guy. Yeah.
But yeah, so we started the season with a win. Obviously, by the time this episode drops, we'll be going into, we got a doubleheader. So hopefully Edward is 100% for that game, because we're gonna need him.
So, yeah, that's why I'm honestly not even gonna play the other two games that I have for this week. I didn't play today. I'm not playing tomorrow, and I'm not playing Wednesday. I'm trying to heal up. I still have like some feeling on my ankle, all the way like basically up to my calf on the tendon, to where it still feels mighty ripe. Where like I barely take one quick move, and it's like, my ankle gives up. But anyways, you know, like, let's move on with the show. You know, personal stuff. All right, I don't want to tell people my injuries. For all we know, our two teams listen to our podcast. You know what I mean? And that's cool, but it's like at the same time, it's like, okay, go for the dude with the weak ankles.
Yeah. Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai, we're here. That'd be a cool team name, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's go with the show. We're gonna go ahead and take a break, and then we'll get going with the transfer watch.
Yes.
Yo, Edward, I'm digging that jersey. Where did you get it?
Thanks. I got it at fanatics.com.
What's Fanatics?
Fanatics is your one-stop shop of all things sports. You can get the gear of all your favorite teams.
Even NASCAR?
Even NASCAR. If you shop using our link, not only will you be getting swagged out, but you will also be supporting Insert Name FC and the Unhinged Sports Network.
Nice. I'm going to start shopping now.
Sir.
And we're back. if you guys, please check out our social media at Instagram and Twitter at Insert Name FC. If you guys go to our bios, you'll see a link at the bottom that takes you to our link tree, where you can see where you can listen to us through Spotify, Pandora, Apple, Spreaker, also Belly Up Sports website, and of course our great partners of Fanatics and Audible, and the Insert Name FC clothing store. So, you know, go ahead and check us out once again on Instagram and Twitter at Insert Name FC. All right, Edward, we got Transfer Watch. And we're going to start things off with the MLS. FC Dallas is bringing in Nanu on loan with an option to buy from FC Porto.
Ooh.
And Nanu is a defender. We're actually going to come back, because FC Dallas, another FC Dallas product, is actually going to Europe. And we'll touch base on that pretty soon. But yeah, so Juventus is looking to make a loan for Memphis Depay. So I'm guessing, you know, obviously, I'm sure there's still rumors going on between, you know, Barcelona trying to get Morata for some kind of reason. I mean, you already got Ferran Torres. He can technically play that spot. But you know what? I'm not an expert. But, yeah, maybe they're looking to bargain Juventus. You know, hey, we'll take, you know, I know you're going to lose the guy, your number 9. Well, we'll give you another number 9 in Memphis Depay. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. How would you feel Memphis Depay being with Juventus?
Well, I mean, With Juventus, I mean, I guess it would be an okay fit. Honestly, I think that Depay adds something to the attack of whatever team he may be in. It's flair, speed, some tenacity. Like, I like the fact that there was one time that it was a ball that they gave him, and he actually did chase it, you know, to try to make sure that they didn't go out. Instead of just letting it go roll over just because you feel like it's too far off, like, still has that hunger, you know. Like, I guess, like, you could say that tattoo that he has on his back kind of matches how his play style is. Like, he's ferocious, he's hungry, he wants to keep going.
He does have a lion on the back, right?
Yeah, so I feel like that would be that. I think he would be a good signing for Juventus. I'm not saying like he's gonna be like, oh my god, he's the game changer and everything. Like, oh, like he's a good sign. He's a good signing. I feel like, like I said, in any team that he may join, I feel like it's a good sign.
All right. So Real Madrid, this is gonna. All right, you guys gotta bear with me when I explain this. Real Madrid retrieve Borja Mayoral from Roma to send him on loan to Getafe.
Ooh.
So. Mayoral has actually not been featured in Roma for a while now. Jose Mourinho actually has been lately preferring Tammy Abraham, which I can't disagree with it. You guys know how I feel about Tammy Abraham. So you know, Real Madrid's like, okay, well, you're not gonna play our guy, so we'll go ahead and take him away. And you know, Getafe's like, hey, we'll take him. And so, you know, so now Borja now plays for Getafe. So yeah. I mean, as long as he gets some playing time, I don't necessarily think that Borja is like part of Real Madrid's future in any shape or form, especially when you're hearing what Real Madrid is trying to do this summer. So it's going to be interesting nonetheless, but you know, it's an interesting transaction that took place. Apparently we're going to hear a lot more offers because, you know, you got the whole Luke De Jong that might even go on loan to Cadiz from his loan from Barcelona. So, you know, it's not the craziest thing.
Right.
But continuing on, Aston Villa completes a loan for Lucas Digne for $25 million. So the Everton fullback is now joining Steven Gerrard's team, but they're not done yet, and we'll get to it a little bit sooner, eventually. Or did we already say continue? Okay. Well, continue. Yeah, last episode we mentioned continue going to. So Steven Gerrard is making some moves, man. It's really interesting what this Aston Villa team has been doing. And, you know, yeah. I'm sure everyone doesn't want to remember that Manchester United-Aston Villa game that happened this past weekend. But we'll go ahead and move on, Edward.
Yes.
Unless you want to touch up on that.
No.
Okay. All right, moving on. Jesus Tecatito Corona joins Sevilla. So the man is finally leaving Portugal and is going into La Liga, playing for Sevilla. I really like this move. You know, me and Edward have said good things about Sevilla, that they're a very, very good club, very well-structured club, very well-disciplined club. And Tecatito, I mean, you know, he needs to go to the next level, and I think La Liga is definitely that next level for him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tecatito is a good player all around. I think he is. It's just all his injuries have brought him down. But the thing is, what I like about Tecatito, even with all the injuries and being injury prone, it's like he comes back and it's like he's the same. He doesn't drop a level. Like, his dribbling still stays the same. If anything, like, he'll keep being speedy. Excuse me. So I think it's a good move for him. I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. This isn't anything that's happening in the January transfer window, but Atletico Madrid is actually planning to let Luis Suarez's contract expire for the summer. So they will not be looking to retain the Uruguayan. There is rumors going around that a possible MLS move, particularly Inter Miami, is what it's looking like, that they're going to be looking to bring Luis Suarez there. So, I mean, let's be honest. Like, I don't think Luis Suarez is like the future for Atletico Madrid. I mean, I don't think you can try to get me to believe that Luis Suarez is part of your team's future, especially where he's at in his age. I don't know what their answer is going to be at the forward position. I mean, you have Angel Correa. I guess that could be an option, but I would be saying this summer that don't be surprised if Atletico Madrid goes goes out there and go gets themselves a striker in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, I think Luis Suarez still has maybe one good year left, like one good, like a year playing for a major league. And then after that, I guess you could say, like, he'll go to U.S. Like, I'm not saying that, oh, MLS is going to be, like, the chopping block for him. Like, it's going to be the end, retirement league, whatever. So I think, like, even if he goes to Serie A or EPL, stays in La Liga. So just, you know, I feel like he still has that one good year with him, you know?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree on that one. But we'll go ahead and move on. And Roma have revived their interest in Granit Xhaka. Go ahead and take him. Just take him. At this point, I'm okay with paying to let you have him.
Wow, bro. No way. Are you serious?
Oh my God. Edward, you don't know.
I know how much you hate him, but jeez.
You don't really know how pissed I was when his dumbass got that stupid red card in the semifinal of the Carabao Cup against Liverpool. Now, props to Arsenal because they went in and went toe-to-toe with Liverpool with only 10 men and got out a 0-0 draw to at least go into that second leg very cleanly. But Granit Xhaka, I've been telling you, he does like a spectacular game. He has a spectacular game and then he leads it off with a red card like the next game. And it's just like, I'm done with this charade. I don't believe in him. I've never believed in him. I want him out of this club. There's no way you can ever try to spin zone me that Granit Xhaka is good for Arsenal. I want him out. I want this man out of this club. If Jose Mourinho sees something in him, well, good for him because I don't want him.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. I guess make Hector's day.
Yeah, Jose Mourinho, just make my day. At least you can finally make something for me.
Bro, what if he just, I don't know, what if he just makes it like to where he makes the Xhaka big and then they end up facing off like in the National Cup or something and then like he's the one that scores against Arsenal and then that's like
in the event that Arsenal and Roma are in the Europa League final or the Champions League final.
Yeah.
In that event, if somehow Arsenal finds themselves in the Champions League final, I don't know. Maybe.
Why do you gotta laugh? Why do you gotta laugh so hard at that?
I just don't see that happening anytime soon. You gotta get in the Champions League first. But yeah, it'd be interesting. Anyways, Manchester United is set to sign Napoli's Fabian Ruiz, a midfielder. Do they need a midfielder, Edward?
Napoli, honestly, I don't think so. I don't think they do.
Well, you got Fred, so.
Well, now that you mention it. No. We gotta give him a chance.
Yeah. Anyways. Newcastle have signed Burnley's Chris Wood, the man from New Zealand. He is now at Newcastle United. That's all I gotta say. That's not necessarily. I mean, he's played in the Premier League, has a lot of experience in the Premier League, but I don't think this is the signing that's gonna put Newcastle over the top. But you know, they're making moves. All right, yep, FC Dallas sends Justin Che to Hoffenheim on an 18-month loan with an option to buy. So Justin Che will be joining Chris Richards over at Hoffenheim. And if you guys want to know a little bit about Justin Che, this is a guy that Bayern Munich was looking at very heavily. They just didn't squeeze the trigger. And Hoffenheim is going after and getting the young defender over to Hoffenheim. And, you know, he's going to have a familiar face there because obviously another FC Dallas product, Chris Richard, will be over there with him. So, you know, Hoffenheim, I think it's a really good move for them. I think I like this move, and I can't wait to see Justin Cherry playing in the Bundesliga, and yet another FC Dallas product playing in Europe.
Yep.
All right, Napoli is in talks for Ajax's Nicolas Taliafico.
Oh wow, trusting that 10 times fast.
Yeah, I had some practice on FIFA. So I was playing FIFA and I was just like literally passing it. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it's a very tricky last name. But yeah, so Napoli is looking to bring in that the fullback over to from Ajax to Napoli. So very interesting. He's definitely one of the older players of Ajax, which yeah, there's older players that play in Ajax, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, continuing on, Chelsea is set to offer $40 million for Frankie de Jong. Why? I have no idea. Do they need a midfielder?
That's what I was thinking.
Probably not.
I was like, let me see. Kante, who else? Jorginho.
Still have Saul for some weird reason.
Oh, for real, dude? I thought he was already on his way back.
Kai Havertz.
Well, Kovacic. He's like a Mateusz Kovacic is still in there?
Yep. Yeah, I know. Wow. Even I'm surprised.
Damn, bro. I haven't seen him in a long time.
I think that's no. Is that really all the midfielders I can think of? Off the top of my head, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Mason Mount.
Mason Mount, yeah. Well, I mean, you got to think about it. I think Kai Havertz and Mason Mount both play like the same style, the same way.
Like you can put them up top.
Yeah. And then I feel like Kante, Jorginho, Kovacic, like they play a little bit more farther back.
So, but well, they're making an offer for Frankie de Jong, and I mean, you know, some people. I don't know. How do you feel about Frankie de Jong? Are you disappointed with him, or do you think he still has to grow? Or
he did what he could. Let's just put it that way. He did what he could, and it helped. In some situations, it didn't. You know, like I mean, he's no Rakitic, you know. So, but he has
those are pretty big shoes to try to fill, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Arsenal are to offer $60 million and Lucas Torreira to seal Dusan Vlahovic over at Fiorentina. So, I mean, there was rumors going around that Fiorentina would be looking to secure Lucas Torreira. Well, Arsenal is going to use that as a bargaining chip to secure Dusan Vlahovic because I do believe Fiorentina actually wants $150 million for Arsenal to get Dusan. So they're like, well, we're not going to do that. And we'll give you $60 million and we'll give you Lucas Torreira. So, I would say, yeah, I would like that move very much. I know Torreira is just not going to be with Arsenal. I've already accepted that. And Vlahovic, I mean, Arsenal needs a definite number nine. And that is a definite number nine. He's been having an amazing season at Fiorentina. And I would hope that can translate over to Arsenal.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you go.
Yep. Barcelona want Roberto Firmino.
Nah. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. Not what I'm looking for.
All right. There you go. Paul Areola. Is set to go on loan with an option to buy with Club America. So it looks like Paul Areola will be making a return to Liga MX. It's an interesting move, but I do like Paul Areola. He's a hardworking winger. I think I've said that plenty of times. And, you know, I mean, he has not Club America. He has Liga MX experience because he played in Tijuana. So
yeah,
I think it's interesting to see America going after an American. But, you know, I like it. I think I do like this move. I don't know if America really needs wingers like that, but apparently they do.
Yeah. That's good, though. Kind of puts you in a perspective kind of deal with the Americans.
That's very true. And then the last one, and this I made this one the last one because there's some like, there's some things going on with Colorado Rapids and Kellen Acosta's relationship. So the Colorado Rapids end up trading Kellen Acosta to LAFC for what? I'm not entirely sure. I'm guessing like, you know, target allocation money or general allocation money. But Kellen Acosta spoke out on this. He actually ended up saying that there was actually some teams in Europe that were looking to get him, and Colorado did not want to make any of those transactions. I don't know what was really going on. I don't know if they were trying to extend Kellen Acosta or what was going on, but they just couldn't. I guess Colorado didn't want to sell him to a club, so they chose to trade him instead to LAFC. Apparently, there's that relationship's kind of like fringed, and like obviously got exposed on social media. So now everybody at least knows about that part. Not really the details, but knows that there's a bad relationship between the front office and Kellen Acosta now over at Colorado. But you know, Kellen Acosta now is a player for LAFC. Now have a new manager. It's gonna be interesting what LAFC is gonna look like next season.
Yeah.
Or this coming season, makes sense. This season is coming up pretty pretty soon. But yeah, so that is the transfer watch, and we're gonna get going with headlines, and we're gonna start things off with our girl Trinity Rodman. She got named. She got called up for the U.S. Women's National Team January camp. Now there is no games. No games that are actually scheduled, but they're gonna have a camp, and it's mainly just to build some chemistry and see some new faces. And obviously, Trinity Rodman had to be a name to be dropped in here, because I mean, she had the one of the best seasons that anyone could have for a rookie, which was winning the NWSL's Rookie of the Year, and then topping the year off with being an NWSL Cup champion. So I mean, and she was definitely a big part of it for the Washington Spirit. So the camp will be in Austin, Texas from January 19th to the 28th. Like I said, there won't be any matches. It's mainly just to like build some chemistry and start getting ready for the Women's World Cup that'll be coming in 2023. And if you guys are like, oh, maybe it's just, you know, like no names are going to be in this call-up. No, Alyssa Nair is going to be there. Abby Dahlkemper is going to be there. Sofia Huerta, Kelly O'Hara, Emily Sonnet, Lindsay Horan, the captain of the new number 10 for the U.S. Women's National Team, Rose Lavelle, Christy Mewis, Samantha Mewis, Ashley Hatch, Mallory Pugh, Margaret Purse, and Lynn Williams. So, I mean, yeah, you're not going to... Alex Morgan didn't get called up. Tobin Heave, like, you know, like Megan Rapinoe, like the ones that are the big names, but these are still like solid women's, you know, U.S. international players that are going to be featured in this camp. So it's not like a wasted camp or anything like that. There are some new faces that are going to be in this camp, but it's mainly to build chemistry because, like I said, they're pushing to go get ready for the 2023 World Cup as they're hoping to win yet another one. So
yeah,
so I mean, it's cool for Trinity Rodman. This is the next step, and you know, it was bound to happen. There was no way you can't have this girl out there. She's a beast, and she's killing it right now. And I definitely can't wait to see her representing the U.S. hopefully soon.
Yep, exactly.
Yep, and so I mean, I'm sure people are gonna. If you guys haven't realized, Trinity Rodman is the daughter of NBA star Dennis Rodman. So if you guys didn't know that, you guys couldn't put two and two together on that one. But yeah, so one of the most dominant basketball players in NBA history, his own daughter, is said to look like one of the most dominant players in women's soccer history. Yeah. We hope so. But yeah. All right, man. Continuing on, we have Axel Key breaks Freddie Adu's record. So, if you guys, a brief history lesson here. Don't know who Freddie Adu is,
that was, we were all hyped up on him when we were kids, too.
So, at the time, Freddie Adu was the youngest professional soccer player in the MLS history.
What was it, Chicago Fire?
DC United.
Oh, DC United. Right.
So he ends up signing at 14 years, 168 days old. He was the youngest signing. No one's ever heard of a 14-year-old playing professionals, professional sport in general. And so that was huge. You know, there was so much hype around him. it didn't pan out that well.
No, it really didn't.
I mean, he did good in the MLS in the club level. He finally gets a call up with the U.S. men's national team, but nothing spectacular to mention. He did end up going to Europe at some point. I think he played in Portugal. I think it was Benfica that he played for. I don't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, just didn't have the greatest career that everyone thought he was going to be. You know, like, oh my God, you know, 14-year-old is gonna make something for himself. And maybe there was just too much pressure. Maybe we were overhyping him a little too much. But yeah, his career didn't pan out. But let's talk about Axel Key and why Axel Key is now the youngest player in MLS history. Axel Key signed his professional contract at 14 years and 15 days old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so if you guys are wondering, well, is he really good? Well, he was born in the Ivory Coast. So obviously the Ivory Coast is probably going to be looking at him pretty heavily because, you know, he's from the Ivory Coast. But he did grow up in Brazil. So he grew up in Brazil. His dad was a professional soccer player as well. Did play in Brazil. That's why they lived in Brazil. So, you know, he grew up in Brazil. He ended up moving to the U.S. in 2017. Did play with LA Galaxy San Diego Academy. And then eventually found himself with Real Salt Lake's Academy system. As a matter of fact, this last summer, he took the U15s. He was part of the U15s MLS Next Cup Championship team, where he did win the Golden Boot of the tournament. And this kid is I need to like check this one more time, but I'm pretty sure that he's 6'4".
Damn.
I could be wrong.
6'4"? Dude. Bro, I'm over here being 32 years old.
He's 6'4".
Jeez. Wow.
And he's 14. Wow. So, I mean, I think technically men stop growing at 18.
He had a hell of a growth spurt.
Can you imagine just parents like asking for like a birth certificate to prove his birth?
Oh my God. Bro, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, he's officially a part of Real Salt Lake's team. I can't tell you all the time what position he plays. I believe he's a winger. So I don't know. I don't know how Real Salt Lake is looking at in the winger spot, but, when you see a 6'4" player coming off the bench, well, then now, you know, that's Axel Key. It's amazing. It's cool to see that we're going to have more younger players signing into the MLS. I love seeing that in general. I like that, like, there's academy systems are using their academy players more and more. Like, they're calling them up. It is a great option. Unfortunately, it sucks that these guys have to pay to be in those academies, but it's just pretty cool to see. And hopefully that, you know, MLS maybe does something to fix that for their sake. But yeah, I'm going to be really interested. Hopefully he doesn't have the similar fate as Freddie Adu. Hopefully he has some more success in his future. For Axel Key, because I mean, there's going to be some eyes watching him, and I'm sure that as soon as he makes his debut, everybody's going to know about it, and will definitely know about it for sure. I mean, it's a 6'4" 14-year-old, so shoot, he could play center back if you really think about it.
Yeah, true. For all we know, he's a
winger. If he's a winger, you know, that means that he's fast. So you have a fast big kid.
Okay, let me put it this way. At 6'4", it depends also like where his mass is most of it. If it's like on his legs and stuff, it's he could have those long strides. I mean, look at Alphonso Davies looks like he looks pretty tall. But he used to look really lanky, but now it's like he's put on so much muscle that he just looks unbeatable.
That's a big ass kid.
Yeah, that's
huge. A big kid. That's just. All right, so we'll definitely be keeping an eye on him for sure. Not in a weird way, but you know, obviously when he makes his debut, we'll definitely talk about it when that happens. But congratulations to Axel Key. Like I said, hopefully you're able to have a better career than Freddie Adu, unfortunately. All right, and moving on to the last headline, and that is Jenny Sikazwe. So that name does not ring a bell to you. That's okay. It's fine. But in the African Cup of Nations, they had one of the most controversial finishes to a match. And that was the Tunisia versus Mali game. And the controversy was Jenny blew the whistle to end the match early twice. Once in the 85th minute and again in the 89th minute. Mali ended up winning this game 1-0. The Tunisian players and the coach were very furious. They were yelling at the ref. So when he blew in the 85th minute, they were getting furious about it. And then once he realized that there was still time in the game, I guess the assistant refs helped him out there. So they continued on to play. And then he blew it again 4 minutes later, not even giving any stoppage time, like nothing, and just ended the game once again early. But it doesn't stop there, Edward. So obviously they're doing the press conferences and, you know, kind of moving on, you know, talking about what happened in the game, which I'm sure if you ask the Tunisian players, they're obviously they weren't saying anything nice. The African Confederation actually ended up coming out and interrupted these press conferences and ordered to resume play. So they were trying to, you know, tell the players like, hey, get back out there on the field. We still need to finish this game. We'll give you guys time to finish the game. So Mali ends up hitting the pitch. Like Mali goes back out on the field because we're like, oh, well, I guess we're going to play now. And Tunisia, still kind of really mad about how things transpired, opted out not to, which ended up keeping the result how it was, which was once again Mali winning 1-0. I gotta say, this is definitely one of the weirdest things. If you guys think, maybe you guys wonder, maybe Jenny doesn't have like much experience. This man has World Cup experience. He was part of the 2018 World Cup. He actually, one of the matches that he officiated was actually one of the best matches in the 2018 World Cup. So you can't use that as an excuse. So, I mean, I don't know if he just had a brain fart twice, but yeah, I mean, Edward, how would you feel if you were a Tunisian player right now?
Well, I mean, if I was a Tunisian player, I guess, I don't know. I feel like,
I mean,
I'd be really more upset. Just mention it like that. It's just
like, obviously, one, you're confused because the whistle was blown, and then it's like 85, you know, there's still like 5 minutes of regular play to play. We're not even talking about like stoppage time. We're just talking about regular play. And you know, there's confusion in there. And then they decide, end up resuming the play. And then 4 minutes later, once again, you don't finish regulation time. You blow the whistle again, ignoring the stoppage time. So at this point, you're kind of pissed off because, you know, I guess, I don't know if Tunisia was like kind of building some momentum near the end to get an equalizer. But obviously, if you also had stoppage time, it would have given them ample time to at least try to get in an equalizer, at least give themselves a fighting chance. And then, you know, they blew the whistle. You go back to the locker room. You're kind of just fed up with that. And I mean, I guess I can kind of relate to it just because of the fact of like how the Swiss League ends up being a few times with us. We're at the point where we're just like, man, fuck this shit. Like, shoot, we didn't even think we're going to play this season, to be honest. We were kind of mad. And like, you know, unfortunately, you know, maybe if they told us, hey, you guys want to keep playing, when we were still in the heat of that moment where we didn't have time to calm down and kind of like just reassess. But, you know, obviously they were pissed off. And the last thing they were going to do was go back out on the field with the way Jenny was. God knows he probably ended up blowing the whistle in 2 seconds into it. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was not a great look for it's not a great look for AFCON, which sucks because AFCON has actually looked really, has been really fun. If you guys haven't been watching those matches, it's been so much fun watching the African Cup of Nations. I've been enjoying every time I've been watching it throughout the day. So yeah, it just sucks because it's a really good tournament. And then this just, you know, like this is going to be what's going to be highlighted, not like the great games that are going on right now, like Nigeria beating Egypt and all that. So like, we're missing out on like the good things that African Cup of Nations are doing. And then you have this that happened. And obviously this kind of puts like a little bit of a stain on African Cup of Nations. But I'm sure Jenny is someone that's going to be right now highly secured right now because he's not going to be safe if he's walking out of public right now, especially if you're Tunisian. I think I could definitely relate to these guys, man. Like, it just sucks. And then like the last thing you want to do is go back out there after you got shafted. So
yeah.
Yeah, that is just yikes, man. Like, and that's crazy because Jan, like once again, like I said, Jenny is a recognized official. You know, once again, he was part of the 2018 World Cup, and so you know, has a lot of experience, and you would think that he would know to keep track of a clock. I assume that's like at least the bare minimum part of being a referee. So it's definitely, yeah, it sucks, but I'm sure that they'll move on from this. You probably wouldn't. This is going to be one of those things that you're just going to constantly remember, no matter what, but yeah, it's going to suck. It's going to sting for a while now, especially if this game decided if Tunisia is not going on to the next round, like that's going to suck even more for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't know where they are right now in the standings, but I would assume that like that it would suck if this is what bites them in the ass. So yeah, I could definitely get that. I could totally relate to that. Actually, we could relate to that because of what happened last season where we started the season with a fight and we felt like maybe that bit us in the ass too.
Yep. And it did.
Yeah. So it definitely can relate. and clearly we haven't moved on from it. So
I moved on. So
well, I haven't moved on, Edward.
I could tell.
All right, Edward. It is debate time. This debate is brought to you by the Insert Name FC Clothing Store. Brought to you by our good friends at Bonfire. If you guys want to go ahead and check it out, once again, it's right there in our bios on Instagram and Twitter at Insert Name FC. It's our link tree. It's the first thing that pops up as soon as you get into our link tree. Says Insert Name FC Clothing Store. Go ahead and check it out. Right now, we just have two basic designs. Once me and Edward can be more creative in the graphics department, maybe we'll drop out some more designs. But like till then, those are the basic looks that we got right now. But if you guys do end up getting some of the Insert Name FC gear, we would definitely love if you guys were to take pictures of you guys rocking the gear and post it on social media and tag us in it so we can go ahead and share it out to the masses to be saying, hey, look, Insert Name FC is running wild. So there is that. So make sure you guys go ahead and check out the Insert Name FC store brought to you by Bonfire. All right, Edward, it is debate time. And Rafa Benitez got sacked by Everton. He is no longer the manager at Everton after yet another loss for the Toffees. And I'm just gonna ask you this, Edward, because they lost to Norwich, so yikes. And obviously Everton now is at 16th place. As a matter of fact, they've lost three of their last five matches. The other two results were a draw and a win. They currently have five wins, four draws, and 10 losses. It's been a rough season for Everton, especially after, having such promise with them. You had Carlo Ancelotti running the club. He brings in guys like James Rodriguez. It looked like there was a lot of upside with Everton, and then you lose Carlo Ancelotti. James Rodriguez ends up going to, well, we know where James Rodriguez ends up going there. He goes over to Qatar and starts saving lives, and you hire Rafa Benitez. And so my question is it Rafa Benitez's fault? Is Rafa Benitez the problem at was he the problem at Everton?
I think right now we've reached an, I guess you could say like an era where it's really easy to point the finger to the manager, and especially in the EPL, God, like Manchester United, for example, they've been playing freaking duck duck goose with the managers, and I think it's fairly easy to say. I don't think he's the problem. It's just, I feel like it's on both sides. It can't just be the manager. It can't just be the players. It's on both sides. There's got to be some sort of connection. For example, Ole Gunnar, he's a player coach. They respect him. They like him. But he wasn't strict. And so I think that was his downfall. Then you got coaches like Mourinho, where Mourinho once, you know, he just basically starts blaming all the players and saying the players are the ones that suck and he can't have as much as he tells them and stuff like that. Then, you know, the players is not going to cooperate with you. So, you know, Mourinho, I feel like that's where he dug his own grave. In like Tottenham, for example, you know, he dug his own grave. Then it's just like with Benitez, I think it's just a little bit of both. You don't really have the high quality players you would expect in the EPL with Everton. But I do think like it's a little bit of the manager and a little bit the players. They both have to kind of meet in the middle, and then you do what the manager says, let the players do their own thing, as a manager, let their players flow with the creativity, like see how the chemistry is. That's why you got to keep an eye on it. If you don't, you know, if you change stuff too often, too much, or you just keep it the same, don't even try to fix it, just tweak it a little bit, then, you know, everything's going to fall apart. So I want to say it's not Benitez's fault, but it's not like entirely like he's free from it all, you know? I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I totally get what you're saying. And I think it's just that, like, Ancelotti and Rafa Benitez definitely have different perspectives as far as how they approach their style of attacks. I think you and me have kind of seen, we know what Carlo Ancelotti does. His is more build up play and move, you know, ball movement. And the attack is definitely a very different style, whereas Rafa Benitez is clearly a defensive-minded manager, and he likes to play more defensively and kind of let, you know, the players that, you know, you do whatever they need to do to score goals, which if we're thinking about the way the game is now, it's a lot about build the play. If you think of the way Pep Guardiola does this, you know, Pep Guardiola is like the best example of how the game is now evolved. Like, it's all about build the play and actually using tactics to be well on the attack. Defense still has a priority in it, but like, you know, if you're looking at Jose Mourinho right now, it's kind of now behind us now. Like, I don't think Jose Mourinho's tactics applies well now to the game anymore. And you can say the same thing for Rafa Benitez, who honestly hasn't necessarily had like the best of forms since leaving Liverpool. Like, Liverpool is still the highlight of his career, because of how good that Liverpool team was, obviously won the Champions League. But I haven't really heard much from Rafa Benitez, you know, aside from when he got fired from Real Madrid. And so I think it's just his tactics are dated. Like, it's just, is it good to have good discipline in the back line? Of course. Like, that's not, I'm not saying that, but you know, you have to evolve your attack. You can't just depend. And also, like, you know, when you, especially with Everton, you have Richarlison up front, a Brazilian striker that, you know, we're supposed to be seeing a lot more in the future for Brazil, and some other good quality players, but you know, they can't just do it on their own. Like, you know, you need build up play, you need to prep well in the attack as well. And if you're more putting more of an effort on defense, well, and you don't put any effort in the attack, you're not going to build chemistry. You're not going to build momentum for the attacking side. And I think like that is to me one of the downfalls for Everton this season, a team that you and me thought were going to continue to get better and better as we saw every year.
I honestly thought that was going to be the case.
And so it is kind of cheap to just blame the manager because, you know, that's like the easiest thing to do. And I totally agree with you with saying that or believing that way. But I think it is pretty obvious that Rafa Benitez, just his style of play just doesn't work with this team. But it looks like I believe they already got their interim manager in place. I think they're looking to get Roberto Martinez to take over, which I'm like, is he going to leave Belgium or something? Is there something that we don't know about Roberto Martinez that like apparently any club thinks that they can just go get him?
Because
I'm like, this guy's, as far as I know, I think Belgium's still number one in FIFA rankings. I mean, I'm probably wrong on that one, but it seems like they're still ranked number one. Why would he want to leave that for starters? But apparently that's the name that they're looking at. So maybe they get him, maybe they don't. Who knows? So we'll see. But I definitely think that I think you could definitely blame it on Rafa Benitez. But I can also see your side that it also the players need to play out there as well. So you know, it's a double edged sword. Like the player, you can definitely blame the players, but you also have to look at who's running the team. So I definitely agree with you on that part. But yeah, man, so the debate is posted on social media. Once again, on Instagram and Twitter at @InsertNameFC. If you want to share your thoughts on there, go ahead and respond on the post. And of course, if you guys want to give us a debate topic on it for a future episode, you can drop it there as well or just send us a personal message on Instagram and Twitter at @InsertNameFC. And if we like it, we'll feature it on a future episode. And we'll even share give you a shout out not only on here, but we'll also give you a shout out on the post for our social media for the debate topics. So Edward, you and me are going to go ahead and take a break and then we'll get going with game recaps.
Hector, are you listening to music?
No, I am not listening to music. I'm listening to my audiobook on Audible.
What's Audible?
Audible allows you to listen to a large library of audiobooks at your convenience.
What if I'm not sure about Audible?
Well, you can start a 30-day free trial when you use the link audibletrial.com/insertnamefcpodcast. Not only do you get the experience of Audible, but you will also be supporting Insert Name FC.
I'm going to start my free trial right now.
And we are back. All right, Edward, games to recap. Make sure you get your game to recap. What's your game to recap?
All right, so my game to recap is, drum roll, please. Wait, I thought you were going to do the drum roll. Like the physical, like you...
You did it.
No, I did it with my mouth. That was like... You know, like I thought you were going to... Or something like that, I don't know. All right, well... There you go, I heard it. All right, so my game to recap, it's actually the Pachuca versus Chivas game.
Ooh, a little Liga MX.
Yeah, so it was basically the reason. Okay, so the reason why I chose this was because it was very controversial in the sense of like the own goal. I saw it. I was watching it when it was going on. So Pachuca beat Chivas 2-1. The thing is, Chivas had 59% of the possession. But Pachuca outshot them 15-11. Mind you, this was going around for the whole game where Pachuca was basically starting to attack and attack and attack. And they ended up scoring, you know, 1-0. But the second goal, it came from an own goal by the goalkeeper, Raul Gudino. But the thing is, from the camera angle, it doesn't look like it's an own goal from the goalkeeper. It's an own goal from the defender. But the thing is, when they played it in slow-mo, you see a piece of the turf, of the grass, out, like, with the mud, with the dirt on it. and it hits the ball and the ball bounces off of that, that's where the goalkeeper misses that shot, like that stop. Because he's looking around to see what's his best move. And at that time that he reacts and tries to chase after the ball's already going with the momentum because of that piece of dirt. And so that's the reason why I picked that game, because it's so, I felt real bad. I was like, man, I was like, that's some fucked up shit. I was like, either the groundskeepers are going to get fired or you know, they're going to try to water the grass a little bit less this time around, because I think it just happened to be scooped up earlier during the game and just stayed there.
Was this a home game for Chivas or for Pachuca?
It was, I believe it was a home game for Chivas. Let me double check. Let's see. Chivas. Ooh. Chivas, Pachuca. That was in... Pachuca. Yeah. It was in Pachuca.
Okay, so the grounds crew will be actually celebrated.
The grounds crew will be celebrated. Dude, trust me, like, that was so bad. They knew the assignment. Yeah, that was so bad.
Jesus Christ. That is definitely quite the way to end that match. It's unfortunate, but, you know, there's no rule. I mean, I guess, technically, I believe the refs are supposed to, like, check the condition of the field before they approve the field before they start the match. So, I mean, they approved it. So, I mean, that's going to be a factor in the game, unfortunately. Yeah, that kind of sucks for Chivas, but that's it be like that sometimes, man.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I'll go ahead and segue into my game. And, you know, we're sticking into the theme of controversy, because my game is also in some way, not controversial, but just very eventful. So Real Betis ends up beating Sevilla 2-1. This is actually a rivalry I work between these two clubs. Right. Sevilla ended up having 51% of the possession, so it's a rivalry game. It's going to be a battle. But Real Betis actually outshot 16-18. But Edward, the game was abandoned on Saturday.
No, what?
The game was abandoned on Saturday. It was resumed on Sunday at the 39th minute mark. And the reason why it had to be resumed for the next day was because a fan threw an object at John Jordan. So Ligue 1 is now moving into migrating into La Liga, and now fans are acting wild in La Liga matches. So they ended up abandoning the game on Saturday, and then they resumed play the next day on the 39th minute mark in an empty stadium. So. But let me check if that was a home game for Sevilla or was it for Betis. I could be wrong on that one. That would have sucked if that was a home game for... It was also a Copa del Rey game. Benito Villamarin. It's Real Betis. So, that's why. Because they're from Sevilla. They're from Sevilla. Okay, now you know. The more you know. But...
the more you know.
But yeah, so... So that happened. The fan ends up throwing an object at the Sevilla player. So La Liga ends up jumping right into it. They ended up stopping the game and resumed the next day, but in an empty stadium. So they're already punishing the fans a lot quicker than Ligue 1 has. Props to La Liga. But Edward, how do you feel about that?
I mean, damn. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of weird. Maybe the French, you know, fans changed their jerseys for like a weekend and they went to Spain.
You know, I mean, they made an appearance at the MLS Cup final and, you know, like, now they're going over to the Liga. They're taking over the world, man.
Yeah,
French?
I was about to say those rusty, but it was like going to say, I was like, those ruffians, there you go. Those ruffians are taking over the world.
It's just, wow. That's why I was like, I had to somehow bring this game up and it was a good game. all 39 minutes of it. So, but quite an interesting turn of events for those games. So both of us picked some very eventful games, to say the least. But all right, Edward, players of the week. Sorry, players of the week. Who's your player of the week?
All right, so my player of the week is, I'm actually going over to the Bundesliga for this one. And it's actually Erling Haaland, who scores 2 goals in Borussia Dortmund's 5-1 win against SC Freiburg.
Yeah, so clearly Freiburg was not up to task against Borussia Dortmund. Yeah. Which now, I guess, I don't know if they've been for a while, but I know now they're in second. They're 6 points away from Bayern Munich. So it's getting a little interesting there. But yeah, Erling Haaland, you know, it's a name that we're hoping to hear a little bit more often. You know, obviously he was the runner-up for the 2021 Roosevelt Spencer Player of the Year Award. But hopefully, you know, he's back on the ballot for 2022. So, and they have did have a great performance for himself. So I definitely agree with that one.
Yeah, he did.
And my player of the week, I'm actually going to stick in the Bundesliga as well. And it is actually the winner of the 2021 Roosevelt Spencer's Player of the Year Award, Mr. Robert Lewandowski, who ends up scoring a hat trick in Bayern Munich's 4-0 win against Cologne.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, props, congratulations to him because he did win Player of the Year for FIFA. I think that's what it was. So, which I'm like, okay, so what's the Ballon d'Or?
He deserves it. I mean, yeah, he deserves that vote from you. It's so weird that we always end up going to like Haaland or Lewandowski. But I mean, dude, I mean, can you really blame us like that? They're just some caliber type players. I'm like, they pull some shit out of their ass. We're just like, damn, impressive.
Oh yeah, so these two are now in the ballot for Player of the Year. So maybe this is the finalist group again, because you know everyone's gonna probably pick both of these guys at some point. So
you already know, bro. You already know.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, congratulations to Erling Haaland and Robert Lewandowski for being our Players of the Week. All right, so there are some games to look forward to this weekend. Like I said earlier in this episode, we are now entering the round of 16 for the African Cup of Nations. So things are going to get a little bit spicier now, as now it's win or go home now for these African nations to see who's going to lift the 2021 and 2022 African Cup of Nations, because this tournament was supposed to be last year. But obviously, it's this year. But anyways, continuing on. In Liga MX, you have América taking on Atlas. And Pumas taking on Tigres.
All right. Yeah. That'll be a good one.
Yep. In Ligue 1, we have RC Lens versus Marseille. Lens has actually is having a pretty good stretch of games as of recently. And the other game is Montpellier versus Monaco. Montpellier is also a team that's actually making quite, having some form over there in Ligue 1. But PSG is like way ahead of everybody. But continuing on, in the Bundesliga, we have Hoffenheim taking on Borussia Dortmund.
Ooh, Dortmund!
And Hertha Berlin attempting to take on Bayern Munich.
Ooh, Robert Lewandowski!
So everyone's already conflicted.
Right. Oh, no. I said, woo, Dortmund. And then I went straight and just, woo, Lewandowski.
Yep. In the Serie A, Lazio take on Atalanta. And we have another singing bet in place as AC Milan takes on Juventus.
Oh, fuck me sideways.
So if you guys want to know, obviously AC Milan is my team in the Serie A. Spencer and Edward both go for Juventus. So last time we actually had a draw, so nothing happened. But you know, who knows? Who's to say? Maybe Juventus tops over AC Milan, or Milan beats Juventus. So
I still have to do my same bet. Dios mio.
You win, Spencer.
Yeah, the thing is, I think, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to take a whole day off just so we can do that on a date.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take
a day off. Yeah, I'm going to have to take either like a Wednesday off when I don't have the kids or I don't know. Oh, man, it's horrible.
So, I mean, hopefully that list of songs don't start piling up on you even more. But yeah, so that is going on in Serie A. In La Liga, you have Atletico Madrid taking on Valencia. And Sevilla taking on Celta Vigo.
Ooh.
So, and then obviously we mentioned Tecatito is now with Sevilla. Well, in Celta Vigo, they also have Oberlin Pineda.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully we get to see him play as well. In the English Premier League, this is where we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for the games to watch this weekend. We have Everton now with no longer with Rafa Benitez taking on Stephen G in Aston Villa, which it's going to be Lucas Digne's, I guess, Lucas Digne revenge game, if you will, for Aston Villa. Also, yeah, I mean, Coutinho, let's see what he does. What does he do in his follow up of his debut? As an Aston Villa player,
I mean, his debut I think was actually pretty good.
Yeah, like, he scored a goal and assist. So
yeah, in the 14th minutes that he played, first 14 minutes he played, he scored.
Yeah, terrible troll job. I was like, they're like Coutinho 23 minutes, one goal. Jadon Sancho, I think does he have a goal?
Yeah, he has a goal.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I don't know, man. Honestly, I feel Jadon Sancho should have stayed in Dortmund. But, I mean, hey, to each his own and each club, their own. Like,
In hindsight, he should have.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No, I mean, I was excited for Man U. But the thing is, like, then, we both said it, like, so we honestly thought he was going to start. Like all the time, and I guess it just didn't
matter. Were we wrong?
We were fucking wrong. not were we wrong? We were fucking wrong.
Yeah. So yikes. And the last game is Chelsea versus Tottenham. Unfortunately, we didn't get the North London derby last week because of Arsenal claiming that they didn't have enough players to play, and the EPL ended up proving that, so they actually had to reschedule that game. But we do have another London derby as Chelsea take on Tottenham. So we'll see how how that turns out for Tottenham and the Blues. But yeah, so those are the games to look forward to this weekend. We're going to go ahead and take one more break, and then we'll get going with three up, three down.
Hey, it's Hector.
Yo, this is Edward. And we are
Insername FC.
Listen to us discuss news, recaps, and preview games from across the world of soccer.
Catch us on unhingedsn.com on Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern Time.
We will see you there.
Yeah, just tell me.
And we're back.
What?
Huh?
What?
We're on.
Oh, okay. Because you're just laughing.
Well, because like as soon as I pressed record, you started talking, and then I was like, "Hey, we're back!" And then you're like, "What?" we'll keep this on. We'll keep this in. And we're back, guys. So three up, three down, and the topic is songs that came out the years we were born. So if you guys want a reference, Edward and Spencer are both from the year 1989, and I am from 1991. That's right, I am the baby of this group. So. So we always start things off with Spencer. And on Spencer's three down, he has Stand by REM. Wait. Yeah, Stand by REM, which I'm not really an REM guy. I don't know if you were ever into REM.
Not really.
It's an acquired taste, to be honest. And number two, he has Bad Dance by Prince. Sometimes I'm uncomfortable listening to Prince. I'm not going to lie. I love Prince, but sometimes I am kind of uncomfortable listening to Prince because you know how he like moans throughout their songs too?
Yeah.
So. And then at number one, he has Sweet Surrender, the song Wet, Wet, Wet.
Oh, wow. That just sounds horrible already as it is.
Yeah. All right. So that's Spencer's three down. Edward, do you want to start or do you want me to go first?
I guess I'll start.
All right.
While I have it kind of fresh on my mind. So because I'm only saying these because these are songs that I probably don't listen to much and I'm not a big fan of the artist. So one is what was the one I said? Number three, I guess Too Many Broken Hearts by Jason Donovan.
Oh man. Hitting the feels.
Yeah. Number two, Soldier of Love, Donny Osmond.
Okay.
Yeah. Number one, what was that fucking song? I literally saw it a little bit ago. Oh, If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher. I'm just the only song I'll ever listen to, and it's just because South Park made a little parody of it, was that If You Believe in Life After Love, and then we also make fun of Burke for that and say that that's his song, even though it's not, but we just, you know, but it's just you know, it's just for fun, for shits and giggles, for fun. But yeah, those are my bottom three.
When I hear If You Could Turn Back Time, I always think of that, that scene where Meg is singing in front with the Navy sailors. That's the song she's singing. All right, anyways. For my three down, obviously 1991. These two are from 1989, so it's going to be a little bit different. At number three, I have Touch Me All Night Long by Kathy Dennis.
Oh, wow.
Zoo Station by U2 is my number two.
Mm-hmm.
And You Love Us by the Manic Street Preachers is my number one. This is where I was kind of like, all right, it's cool. We can move on from punk music. It is why that's my number one.
Ah, there you go.
And all right, so that's my three down. And we're going to move into the three up. And we'll start things off, obviously, with Spencer once again. And at number three, he has Miss You Much by Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, Janet Jackson is a pop icon. We've all heard a few songs from Janet Jackson. We all know some moments about Janet Jackson, but we're not going to talk about that right now. you gotta have some Janet Jackson somewhere. Number two, and this is definitely a classic. Bobby Brown, It's My Prerogative.
It's My Prerogative. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So that's a good choice there by Spencer. And number one is Back to Life, the song Soul to Soul.
Mm.
Oh, wait, I got that. Wait a minute. Spencer's over here throwing me off right now. I think the group is Soul to Soul.
I think so.
Yeah, I was about to say. I'm like, wait, I know that. I know, I'm like, whoa, what the hell? Soul to Soul, the song is Back to Life. Okay, Jesus Christ. Yep. So that is Spencer's three up. Edward, what is your three up?
All right. So my three up, my number three, Bust a Move by Young MC.
Okay.
I mean, who can go wrong with that song? You know what I mean?
And definitely, it could definitely get a house party going.
Yeah, pretty much. We've seen it on movies. number two.
You really do. It's like a...
Yeah, it's in there. It's a lot of...
It's always in the building moment. You know what I mean? Where like all the friends are getting together. And
It's like hold this. Hold on. Let me go ahead and show you. And we tell the DJ to switch it up. And then that comes on. And then they start, you know, going hardcore on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
definitely a good pick.
Yeah, and then Number two is Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart.
You hear that at every sporting event?
That and the fact that it was actually on The Office. That's Dwight's power. That's Dwight's...
that's right.
Songs. That's Dwight's like pickup song. Like,
where he's gotta like, do this again.
Leave the car. Leave the car keys. Do you still do it? Leave the car keys. And then he just locks himself in the car and he gets all hyped up with it and starts smashing his head on the fucking headrest. Yeah. So,
but what's funny was also in The Office, when he was getting hyped for the, what was it? That episode, performance reviews. Cause he's getting hyped to Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if Rainn Wilson, I mean, I'm sure, cause I know he can play musical instruments and I know he's actually like really into rock music. So maybe he chose to play Motley Crue.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. They let him do that his own. And then my number one, I got to go and jump over to the Spanish genre. This is kind of dedicated to my aunt, who she was a Bookies fan. Number one is Como Fui a Enamorarme de Ti by Los Bookies. It's a classic.
That's a good one.
It's a classic for us Latinos.
that's cleaning music.
Yep.
That's doing your chores in the morning music.
Early in the freaking morning.
That's a good one. I like your number one. All right. Going to my three up. And I'm going to start things off at number three, Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn.
Oh, nice.
Yep. I will say, 1991 has some really good songs. This was definitely a hard list for me to break down to a top three. Number two, Come As You Are by Nirvana.
Okay.
And
that's a good one.
Yeah. You're going to love number one. Number one, Enter the Sandman by Metallica.
Nice. Yeah.
You're talking about one of the most iconic rock songs in metal. And unfortunately, we do live in a world now where kids wear Metallica shirts and don't even know the band. So,
I found this in my dad's closet and I'm wearing it. It's great.
Oh, what the hell? Mexico Institute's 5-year ban of fans who partake in anti-gay chant. Huh, that just popped up on my phone.
I just saw it.
Literally just popped up on ESPN. It's like Mexico fans who partake in anti-gay chanting will be given a 5-year ban. Mexican Football Federation, FNF president Yande Luisa announced on Monday. Obviously, you know what the phrase that they're talking about. But okay, so they're gonna Liga MX is Mexico is laying down the to stop them having them yell out that puto. So all right. Well, there's some news that just dropped there right then and there as we wrap up this show. But that is 303 Down. This is the show. This is episode 72. Thank you for listening. I want to give you guys a shout out to Belly Up Podcast Network. Make sure you guys check out their website, www.bellyupsports.com. They have some great articles. Belly Up just announced their channel on Tiki Live. So Tiki Live is a free cable app that you can actually have it on your Amazon Fire Stick, on your Roku TV. It's available on smart TVs. You literally download the app and you can actually catch some of the live or replay shows that all of Belly Up Sports. So it's actually an official live channel. We're working on some things. Actually, me and Kelsey are going to be working on a little project we don't want to unveil just yet, but it's in the works with me and Kelsey. The Belly Up Radio is going to be coming up. It's actually going to be at the end of this month. So we'll give you guys some more details as we get closer to that. So be on the lookout. Once again, check out bellyupsports.com because things are happening over there on Belly Up and you guys don't want to miss out on that. We want to give a shout out to Alejandra Gomez and her company, A&G Graphics, because they created the Insert Name FC logo. We love this logo. Everyone knows about how much we love this logo. Edward yells it every single episode. how much he loves his logo too, Alejandra.
Yep. I love you.
So make sure you guys follow her on Instagram at a.g.graphics with an X. Once again, at a.g.graphics with an X. Hit her up if you guys need a logo done for whatever you need. Also, obviously, we can't do this show without this guy, and that is Roosevelt Spencer. We want to give a great shout out to him, man. You know, once again, he makes us sound the way we sound, and we always appreciate it for all the hard work he does for us. Because who knows what Insert Name FC would have sounded like if it wasn't for him. So follow him on Instagram at thatguydope. If you guys like his beats, well, if you're trying to be getting into rapping, or maybe you're a fellow podcaster and you want to have your own intro and outro, well, hit up Spencer once again on Instagram at thatguydope. That is episode 72. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you guys next week for episode 73.
All right, take care, guys.